Good morning. Welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, show that connects you with the topics and issues and people that are important to you, and to discuss some very important issues today. From Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity, Executive Director, CEO Chris Medina is here. Chris, great to see you this morning.
You too. It's always fun to be here.
I'm so glad you could come in. And joining you is Maggie Williams, who is the Donor Relations Manager. Maggie, great to meet you. Thanks for coming in.
Likewise. Thank you.
Well, Chris, we've decided, and Maggie, we're going to jump right in because we know affordable housing in our state, and as you keep emphasizing, Chris, across the country, is a top issue. And there are some House bills at the state capitol that lots of folks have their eyes on, and so does Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity.
Absolutely. There are four bills that impact affordable housing, at least potentially. One that Habitat for Humanity is excited about is House Bill 19-1245, and it's a statewide affordable housing advocacy at work just for you. Where it comes down to is an average income just to purchase a home in Colorado is at $102,000. That means you need to make $49.03 an hour to be able to purchase a home in Colorado.
Wow.
On average. We're one of 10 states, only 10 states, that does not have a mechanism to sustainably fund affordable housing. So this House Bill 1245 would help create a statewide affordable housing fund that would benefit affordable for sale housing. So there is a shortage on rental, and Habitat is not ignoring that. There's a shortage of 114,000 rental units.
Mm.
However, if you want to be able to purchase a home, it's even worse. So for every 100 extremely low income families, there's only about 28 that are available for land and affordable units. So 1245 would create this fund from a vendor fee.
Okay, so how does that a vendor fee work?
Currently, under Colorado law, businesses can keep 3 1/3 of sales tax that they collect for administration purposes.
Okay.
This bill would increase the vendor allowance to 4%, but it sets aside $1,000 on a monthly cap on the amount the businesses can keep on that administration fee.
Okay.
This isn't going to harm the small businesses. It's for where you're going to see the big impact. It's going to be for those businesses that generate more than $12 million. So under the bill, 1/3 of the funds will be used to provide affordable housing in eligible low-income households. And this is a minor change, but it impacts so many people mm-hmm. across the state. And its administration would result in roughly $23 million in the first year being funded for affordable housing across the state, and then at the years after that, 45 to 50 million per year afterwards.
Well, the statistics are astonishing. As you said, the average income needed to purchase a home in Colorado is $102,000 annually, but that breaks down to how many people can afford to purchase a house.
I don't have the numbers on that, but I can tell you what, given that when you look at minimum wage at $11.10 an hour,
right,
and that's $23,000 a year annually, or that our average annual income is $57,500, that's $2,765. There's not a lot of households who are moving in other than very high income, white collar, that can afford homes in Colorado right now.
No, and I know you're seeing, and you keep the finger on the pulse, Chris, when it comes to, I mean, even, local a mayor and council trying to work on affordable housing, right? And trying to talk with home builders to try and incentivize them to build more affordable homes. Are you seeing that across the state as well?
There's a lot of movement towards incentivization. The issue is with our builders right now, because land is so expensive, if they can acquire a lot that's fully developed for $75,000, they're going to put a $400,000 to $500,000 home on that.
Yeah.
Now, it's not just because of land costs. It's the labor costs and the labor shortage in the construction industry.
Right. And we talked about that. It's been a little bit now that they've had the labor shortage, and it has created a problem, hasn't it?
Oh, big time.
Yeah. And let's talk really quick about the couple of, and I know Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity is very watching the House Bill 1245, like you talked about. But also there are a couple of others that are going before the Senate. Is that right?
There are.
Okay. And it looks like there's the increased tax credit allocation for affordable housing.
There is, which will increase, it's an annual aggregate cap on low-income housing tax credits to $10 million. That will range from years 2020 to 2024. There's also House Bill 1913-19, which are incentive developers, and they facilitate affordable housing. It requires public entities, not private, but public, to identify and publish lists of undeveloped state-owned land that could be used for affordable housing. So, and land is at a shortage across the state as far as being able to afford it and what is out there if you can develop it. And then there's 1322, which expands the supply of affordable housing. And it requires the state treasurer to transfer funds from the unclaimed property trust to Colorado Department of Local Affairs Divisions of Housing. So those funds would be deposited into the Housing Development Grant Fund, where entities such as Habitat could apply for grants to help acquire land, develop land, and get homes built or rehabilitated.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. And now have you, I'm assuming the other Habitats across the state and the country, well, we'll just focus on the state right now because there is a national campaign coming out, it sounds like, which we'll talk about. But are all the kind of Habitats across Colorado kind of focused on House Bill 1245 and the others?
We are, as well as Housing Colorado, which is another nonprofit entity that does affordable housing advocacy. So the 24, sometimes there's 27, depending on who's merged or who's split. There are approximately 24 Habitat Colorado affiliates.
Okay.
And we're all under a state support organization, Habitat Colorado. We come together at least quarterly to discuss what legislation's out there. How can we come together, like come out and talk to you and say, hey, this is what's going on out there. And encourage not only our homeowners, but our entire communities to call their state legislators and say, we support these particular bills. We also work with the Home Builders Association on their advocacy. Anything that can help promote sustainably and equitably affordable housing through legislation.
For everybody, really.
Absolutely.
I mean, because there's a lot of different sides, balance and interests and stuff like that. So it does become tricky, doesn't it?
It does, especially when people have an erroneous assumption that affordable housing means low income, low quality housing. That's not what it means. And Habitat, among many other entities, very much believes in dignity and hope and building community. And the only way you can do that is if everyone has a decent, affordable place to live.
Right.
So that's how we've got to come together and leverage our relationships.
And what we're going to do is we still have a lot more to talk with Chris about, but we're going to take a quick break and we'll have more next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. And welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today from Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity, we're talking with Executive Director and CEO Chris Medina. Hello, Chris. Great to see you.
Thank you.
And Donor Relations Manager Maggie Williams is here. Hello, Maggie.
Hello.
We do have a lot to talk about. And unfortunately, I know, Chris, we could talk about, I mean, we could take up probably 8 hours talking about this. But we were talking about the four House bills that are going to the Capitol and they're moving to the Senate to try and talk about affordable housing. And we know there is demand. I think you were saying in Colorado, where is that number?
One
in seven households spend more than half of their income on housing, right? And the average annual income would have to be, what, $102,000 to be able to afford a house in Colorado?
Yes.
And I know you said Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity is closely watching House Bill 1245, right?
Yes.
But there are a couple of other House bills that are going before the state Senate. But there's also a focus nationally because, again, this is not just a Colorado issue. This
Absolutely.
Is a statewide, a nationwide issue, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Sorry, give me a microphone and I'm going to run off with your show.
You're fine. You're fine.
So one in six households in the United States, there's one in seven in Colorado, but one in six across the country are paying more than 50% of their income towards housing. When you're paying that type of money just to have a place to live, not necessarily decent, you are foregoing your proactive on your health care. Your kids are moving from school to school because you're having to move a lot to try to find a cheaper place. It impacts an entire community. So one in six across the country. So with Habitat for Humanity International, each affiliate is its own entity, but we're under the umbrella of Habitat for Humanity International. And there are approximately 1,300 affiliates across the United States. So 24 in Colorado, 1,300 across the U.S. And together, we can come together and leverage our voices in each of our individual communities to create a Cost of Home campaign, which we will be launching in June. So you'll hear more about that in June. What this is, because affordable housing is in front of everybody now, I don't know how it can't be.
Right.
This is an opportune time for Habitat international come together and say, okay, let's get our voices together, one message, one concerted educational opportunity to say, okay, this is what affordable housing means to everyone, and let's get it going. So June 27th, we'll be launching it.
Okay. And I mean, we've talked about this numerous times, Chris, it's kind of the misconception, isn't it, the affordable housing. Do a lot of people perceive, oh, we're just speaking about homeless individuals or, you know,
correct,
that kind of that community.
What's very frustrating for Habitat and for our homeowners or the people that we serve through our repair program is that we're all human beings and we all deserve dignity. And just because you need affordable housing doesn't mean that's low income or you're homeless or you're lazy and you're not working. Most people who are in need of affordable housing are the working poor. They are people who are working minimum wage or up to $52,000-$56,000 a year and still having to work two jobs, not only to have a place to live, whether that's decent or not, but to afford medical treatment, to get somewhat healthy food, and most of the time that is not healthy food. So it there's a misperception, and honestly, it's not representing the dignity of each person and saying that I see you for you and I recognize your needs. Like, hey, I've got mine. And what's your problem? Why do you not have decent housing? Are you lazy? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
So affordable housing is we all deserve a decent place to live and an affordable place to live. And that's what affordable housing is about. And with Habitat, we are not a give, you know, we don't give the houses away.
No.
Our families work very hard for those homes. They pay an affordable mortgage. They put in sweat equity on their homes. They help build their homes. They build their neighbors' homes. So you build community. They work in our ReStore. So they're giving back. They can't afford, you know, a 20% down payment on a market home.
Right.
So their down payment is that sweat equity, 200 hours per person that's going to be on title on that home. Try doing that when you're working minimum one full-time job, sometimes two or three full-time,
yeah, right,
juggling kids and juggling ailing parents.
Right. Yeah, and it's a lot. And Maggie, you were making a great point in the break and just kind of listing some of the careers of people that are struggling. And I mean, like teachers.
A lot of the misconception comes with who needs affordable housing, but it's nurses, it's teachers, it's emergency medical personnel, nonprofit employees, you know, people who don't make or are just at $50,000 a year. $50,000 doesn't go as far as it used to. So the perception of who needs affordable housing, that's one of the big key factors that we need to change.
Because that perception is not shifting, is it? And that's the biggest challenge.
Not shifting fast enough.
Okay. And again, this campaign nationally, Chris, you said it's going to start in June to change that perception, right?
Absolutely. We're hoping to get some state legislators as well as local and county out on our construction site. So I'll be hitting them up with an invitation card, as well as I've already been in front of county commissioners to ask to get that on their calendar. So June 27th, across the state, each affiliate will be requesting that those who make the policies, local through federal, come out and help us build a home and say, hey, this is what affordable housing looks like. It's quality, it's neighborhood building, it's community building, and let's all get together behind it.
Right. Okay, we do have to take a quick news break. And what we're going to talk about when we come back is Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity's 3-year strategic plan so they can help address this very big need in Colorado and across the country. We'll have more with Chris Medina, Maggie Williams next on the Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to the Extra on KRDO News Radio. And today we're talking with Habitat. Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity. Joining us, Executive Director, CEO Chris Medina is here. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
And also Donor Relations Manager Maggie Williams is here. Hello, Maggie.
Hi.
And we have so much to talk about. We're kind of shifting gears and looking at locally. We've been talking about affordable housing across the state, locally, across the country. And it is a big concern, but also you have to focus, obviously, your job, Chris and Maggie's focus here locally. And you've had to put together kind of a 3-year strategic plan, right, to meet the demands and the needs and also help continuing to support families in Southern Colorado, right?
That's correct.
So what is part of the 3-year strategic plan? And I know we can bring up one of them, which is ReStore, in that it's so popular, isn't it, the ReStore? Explain to everybody what the ReStore is exactly.
The ReStore takes donations of gently loved home goods and office supplies, furniture and things of that nature, and resells them to the community. So thousands of pounds of materials that would end up in landfills. Still great. Couches, armoires, things of that nature, get resold through the Restore, and people can refurbish them. People can upcycle them. It's a big push through the Restore. And then all of those funds go back to supporting affordable housing throughout El Paso County.
Well, and it's so popular, isn't it? I mean, really, I've been hearing, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but I've been hearing, like, you have to get early. You have to get there early, right, to get, because it's in such demand, right?
We do. We actually have some shoppers. Not only do they come in once a day, we have a couple that we know of that come in at least three times a day, and as soon as the trucks are in, they're looking to see what's coming off. And we are getting huge donations right now.
That's fantastic.
So if you want the stuff that you're looking for, you got to be there often. So shop often or come volunteer with us, because right. Our volunteers get kind of a little added bonus. So staff can't buy things off the floor until it's been there for 24 hours.
Oh, so it has to be there 24 hours, and then the volunteers can go, okay.
No. Staff have to wait 24 hours. Yeah. Volunteers' bonus is that when they see it come off the truck and it's been priced, they get the opportunity. Yep.
The volunteers do. I love that. A reason for volunteering. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Restore is growing so much and becoming such a huge benefit to Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity. Can we talk about it? Can we talk about it?
We can.
Okay.
We are looking to expand the Restore. Woo-hoo! So for those of you who don't know about us, you need to come check us out at 411 South Wasatch. But hopefully anywhere from 1 to 3 years, depending on a site location, we would like to expand to a second store. So we don't know where yet, and we don't know when yet, but I can guarantee Renee will be one of those announcing when we're having our grand opening.
Well, and it's great because Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity has built relationships with contractors and stuff like that to get all these items, right? Like you said, otherwise we'll just end up in landfills.
It's not only contractors who are providing us new and used doors, toilets, plumbing, all sorts of things. Hospitals, local hospitals provide us, whether it's items, those rolling carts that you might see the nurses mm-hmm. moving the medications or the food around. We get plastic bins out the wazoo. I was surprised. We had like 10 pallets from one hospital of plastic bins. Like, what are we going to do with this? They flew out the door.
Wow.
People are like, oh, I need this for my garage. I need it for whatever, nursery, daycare stuff. So, yeah.
Well, and another thing that's going on, and it, of course, people can check you out on Facebook, right? And you guys are working on kind of some, we know DIY is totally the in thing right now, right?
It is.
Now, I just want to clarify, Renee can't DIY anything. I am not capable. So.
That's okay. You can go to our website, pikespeakhabitat.org/restore/upcycle. And there are a half dozen different upcycle ideas that shoppers from the Restore have submitted photographs of before and after for their projects. The Restore has been running promotions. We just got a bunch of headboards donated from, I believe, the Broadmoor. And so, like, what can you do with that headboard? So people turn them into benches. They turned one lady... repainted hers in fashion after a geode. It's amazing, and it's on our website, so you can go check it out.
And great inspiration, right?
Yeah.
And again, kind of looking to volunteers, right? Just not just for the Restore, though, right?
Well, if we're going to grow Habitat for Humanity and its impact, we have to have volunteers, whether it's once a day, once a week. We'll take you every now and then. We need your body. So at the Restore, we can take individuals from one to groups over 100 on our construction site, for our deconstruction, for our repairs, for community, our committees. There's a variety of committees for board service and for office assistance. So we need dedicated volunteers mm-hmm. who love Habitat or want to learn more about Habitat. When it comes to the Restore, you don't have to put in a full 8 hours days. You go in and you talk to Alicia Simpson there, and she will get you squared away. It might be helping unload trailers. It could be helping on the sales floor. It could be being a greeter and explaining the Habitat story. When it comes to deconstruction, we have been very fortunate to be able to give back to the community in working with the City of Colorado Springs on the Broadmoor Bluffs homes that were on the landslide that the city.
Yeah.
So we've deconstructed three of those homes. And that's through the Restore. So the items from those homes went to the Restore and were sold. But because each volunteer hour that it took to deconstruct, to get it moved to the Restore, to get it unloaded and on the sales floor, those homeowners received back $27 per volunteer hour.
Hmm.
The benefit to that is that these homeowners are only getting 70% of the value of their home from a couple of years ago. So they aren't getting the full value.
Right.
And many of them, because the homes were condemned, their personal items have been had been left in there. So we were able to take all of that out and sell it at the ReStore. So phenomenal for the ReStore. And it actually touched the heart of one couple who came in to see what was happening at their old home. And they saw our ReStore truck out there because the items were being put on the truck. And when they found out what was happening with their items and it was going to be going to Good and helping build affordable permanent housing, it started a healing process for them that they hadn't felt.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, so that's our ReStore.
Yeah, gotta love the ReStore. Get there early. Sorry. Okay, what are some other things to focus on for the, because again, we've been talking about the 3-year strategic plan to continue supporting families in Southern Colorado. What other focuses are there?
So our phenomenal board came up with 6 key goals, and it's all about growing the impact and serving more families. So, of course, Habitat is known for building new homes, and we do want to expand beyond the 8 homes that we built. We generally build 8 homes per year. So for 2018, we built 8 new homes. That included 18 children getting permanent affordable mm-hmm. housing. But we also want to expand our repair program. And the repair program can be either a Brush with Kindness, which is fairly simple, easy exterior repairs for people, again, homeowner occupied, for lower income, 35 to 80% of the area median income. And that might be landscaping, putting up a ramp, making sure that the home is accessible. So folks who have mobility issues are not kind of trapped in their house. You don't
right,
want to,
you right, know, yeah.
If your porch is falling off, you can't get out. And then we're working on launching a critical home repair. And so that would be repairs that add to the life of the home. It might be a new roof. It could be siding. Again, those would be exterior repairs.
Right.
We would look to partner with other entities in town, nonprofits, who are doing the interior part. So,
okay.
So expand the repair program. Now, the repair program is not only for just general low income to moderate income, again, the 35 to 85% AMI. We're looking to serve veterans specifically because we can get funding for that. We are working with other not-for-profits to create an aging in place for those. So many of our seniors, when an investor comes in and offers them a lot of money for their home because they can't afford to repair it, they take that, they sell their home for what they can't. Move
can't
anyplace.
Get in place else, right?
Right.
Yeah,
so
I keep hearing about that happening more and more across Colorado and other communities because they can't get into something else.
Yeah, and they didn't realize that.
Right.
So then they're having to hopefully move in with a family member if they can. So then you're looking at overcrowded situations and all of that fun dynamics. So the repair program needs to be expanded, which means we need more volunteers. So the volunteer program for repairs, whether it's deconstruction or a 1 day to a 1 week, that's a little different from the home repairs or home building. So many people, they want to see those walls go up. They want to be a tangible part of a brand new home. But it's also very rewarding to work with those families who need those repairs to be able to stay in their homes.
Oh, absolutely.
So we need the skill sets there.
Hold that thought, Chris. We got to take a quick break.
I know.
We'll get more about this 3-year strategic plan when we come back next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. I'm so sorry, Chris. We had to cut you off. You were on your roll, girl, about the 3-year strategic plan. And we got through. Did you like that? I know you looked at me like, wait, we have to stop. We do need to wrap up kind of the focus. We're talking volunteers, not only for ReStore, but the repair program and how you're needing to expand that for veterans and helping folks age in place. And what are some other focuses of the board to try and for the 3-year strategic plan?
So we also need to strengthen our board governance. Our board of directors is very strong. They're very strategic in thinking, but they need assistance. And the assistance for the board comes from the committees that we have. So we have a building/construction committee where people can come in and help look at the plans that we're going to have for new products, or how can we be more energy efficient, although our homes are already way over code and very energy efficient. On average, our utilities, even in the winter for a Habitat, Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity home is about $34.
Wow.
Yeah. So talk about cost savings there. Yeah, that you can use for better food or kids events. We also have a faith relations committee. So Habitat is a Christian organization, but we serve people of all faiths and of no faiths, and we need to expand our volunteer outreach. There's over 450 faith institutions in Colorado Springs alone, not just El Paso County. So how do we increase the outreach to that and get them involved with Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity and building a stronger community? So that's the faith relations. Then we have development, which is Maggie's area, and that's the fundraising and developing relationships with corporations and individuals. I mean, I'll have Maggie talk a little bit more about that. And then we have family selection support. This is the committee that meets usually about three times a year to look at the applications from our families. Their mortgages are underwritten. They are interviewed. We go do a home visit to them. And then that committee makes a recommendation to the board as to, let's say we can build eight homes, but we have 50 applicants. They have the really hard decision of saying which of these applicants have the most need. And that's really what we have to look at. It's, so often we're hearing, well, my rent keeps going up. I really need affordable housing. We understand that and we hear that. But need is usually overcrowding, unsafe, a variety of issues. It can't be just that your home, that what you're paying for affordable housing, quote unquote, is more than 35% of your income. Mm-hmm. And here it's more than 50. So that's a huge one. And then the governance committee. This is the committee that helps create and edit and review and make sure that we're on top of our bylaws and our articles of incorporation. And they're setting policies and they're going out and they're interviewing the committee members and the board members and strategically saying, okay, here are the skills that we need on our board to move us through to the next 6 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. So that's the governance committee. What else, Maggie?
Maggie, take it away. Chris is on a roll today.
Really, one of our greatest assets and resources is people's time. So whether you're on the board, on a committee, which to be on one of the committees, you don't have to be a board member. So there's no pressure that it's a huge time commitment. And just our general volunteers, each house takes 3,000 hours to build. And 90% of that is from volunteers, 10% being trade skills. Right. Trade skillsmen, so that, electrical and things like that are done to standard. So without those volunteers, and we don't have enough right now, we have a site on Dale Street in town, and we're still building in Country Living in Fountain, and we don't have enough hands. So really, the more volunteers, the better. And as Chris said, if you want to come out for a day, if you want to commit to, I'm going to, come out every Saturday, it's a great opportunity to give back to the community, directly impact your neighbors for the best. And have fun on a Saturday.
Now, how can folks get more information about volunteering and being involved in the different programs?
So you can go to our website, www.pikespeakhabitat.org, and then go to the volunteer tab. When you see where you can register to be a volunteer, please, if you are bringing out a group, don't sign up as one person, and then we have 40 people on the construction
site. Show up. And
yeah, because it takes a lot of work and preparation for us to say, to make sure that you're having a positive volunteer experience.
Okay, right.
We can take that size at the ReStore, but when it comes to the construction sites, that's different. We try to have between 8 and 10 people per home. So a lot of
at a given time.
At a given time.
Okay.
That's a huge safety issue, and it's also easier for our construction supervisors to make sure that their experience is positive. But sometimes people say, "Oh no, I signed up 3 weeks ago." And you look at our website and the software that we used to sign up, and it's like there was one person who signed up for this day. We didn't know you were bringing 20. So
We love groups to come.
Yeah.
But we just want to know they're coming.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing is you can email our volunteer coordinator, Sarah, and it's volunteer@pikespeakhabitat.org.
Okay.
And she will get you squared away, whether it's the ReStore, construction, deconstruction, or repairs. But we really are needing more and more volunteers, particularly now that we have two sites. At the Dale Street site, which is off of Dale Street and Circle, we are running volunteers Monday through Saturday, and we desperately need people on Mondays and Wednesdays at that site.
Okay.
Country Living is only, on average, Thursday through Saturday. Larger groups, let's say, can be out there on Wednesday with us knowing and having prepared for them.
Okay, so go to the website and get registered. And if they have any questions, they can reach out, right?
They sure can. They can call you, Renee.
I could try. I'll just point them in your guys' direction. Do you like that?
I'll get you all the info.
You're so awesome. Chris and Maggie, thank you so much from Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity. I know we had lots more to cover, but we ran out of time. Sorry. I know Chris is looking at me like, Renee.
I can come back.
We'll come back tomorrow.
Well, actually, coming up tomorrow on The Extra, it is Dr. Daryl Lowe, DaVita Medical. That's tomorrow. Thank you guys so much. That's tomorrow on The Extra on KRDO News Radio.